Okay, and Laura, you can still hear me? You called in on the other code, right?
I can hear you. Can you hear
okay.
me?
Okay. Yes, I can. Great. We're set.
Okay.
Okay. Well, welcome, everybody, to actually, this is kind of a special edition of my monthly forum. I asked my dear friend Laura Berman-Fortgang a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, who knows, if she would be my February forum, and I knew she had a new edition of a book coming out. But by way of introduction, let me just say that Laura has a very warm place in my heart. We met, I think it was 1995, about 95, 96, in Houston at the Coach U / ICF conference when it all began, or started to begin. You were actually involved in some coach training with Thomas Leonard prior to that. But I remember I was living in Colorado at the time, still being a psychologist, and heard about coaching three times in 1 week. Thomas was in Newsweek. He was somebody else on the news. It's like, oh, boy, three times. So I said, I'm going. And I, you know, bought my first computer. I mean, the kids had one. But in 95, there was just barely AOL had come out. And I joined Coach U and went to the conference. And lo and behold, I sat in between Laura Berman-Fortgang and Cheryl Richardson prior to either of them or me writing any books on coaching. Little did we know. And I remember at that time kind of taking a couple of my business cards that said psychologist, and I wrote life coach on them, and I almost got tears in my eyes. I said, this is my calling. I know this is what I'm going to be doing. And it just made me feel awesome. And here we are years later. I've worked with Laura in different avenues, witnessed some other sides of her that we might mention toward the end of this call. And watch the growth of her books and her progress and her influence on this profession. So, Laura, thank you so much for coming to this call today.
Thank you. What a beautiful introduction, and I remember it well.
Well, we're doing this call. Laura has a new edition of her book, Now What? I think it's been 10 years, right, since the first edition came out?
This is the 10th anniversary, yep.
10th anniversary, perfect time for a reboot and new stuff. So let's do a little bit about this. I invited our ILCT students and those who read our newsletters and blogs to be part of this, whether they're here live today or whether you're listening later. This is one of those books that is a very, very helpful resource to your clients and maybe you if you're making a transition of some part career-wise, and you're going to love it. So it's called Now What? 90 days to a new direction, new life direction. I'm just going to start with this. What prompted you to redo the book?
Well, the first time around, the book came out of my experiences immediately post 9/11. That 4 days after 9/11, my phone started ringing off the hook with people feeling like life was too short, anything can happen. They needed to take the back burner stuff and put it on the front. And I had no intention of writing a book. I just, going to work with clients. And lo and behold, I was getting people to figure out what they wanted to do next in 90 days. And I've trained over 500 coaches to use the book with their clients, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not gone away. It's still been out there. But I just started seeing, post 2008, 2009, of people having to reinvent themselves with the loss of industries. This book was not getting faded, it was becoming more relevant. So I asked my publisher, before I could even get the sentence out of my mouth, he said yes, and I thought, fantastic, because here's 10 years of experience and knowledge, stories, and I just felt the relevance needed an update. And certainly, when you read something you wrote 10 years ago and you're like, oh my gosh, they made phone calls? Now they would never do that. They would research it on the internet, you know? So
funny.
It felt good to even update some of the old stories, you know, and get in touch with people and see how they were doing. And, you know, so anyway, it just was something that it had no reason to fade away. So I thought it might as well come back stronger and better than ever.
Yeah, that's right. 10 years ago, people wouldn't have said, well, Google it.
Right. They're like, go make 5 phone calls and talk to people, you know, and find out.
Well, I have to admit, you sent me a copy, and one of the advantages of being stuck on the airplane on my recent trip coming and going is I watched a lot of movies and read a couple of books, and this was one of them. So I was really retouched with what you created originally, who you've been as a coach, your career shift and all of that. But my curiosity is always, okay, so you get this great package. It's like you don't have to do this forever. You call it 90 days to a new life direction. So when that becomes apparent to people that that's the kind of the context, what's your experience for people? Does that feel long or short to most people?
That's a great question, because I'm amazed that how people handle it. Some people think it's too long.
Yeah.
And that makes me laugh, because I usually ask them, well, how long has this been plaguing you, the not knowing what you want to do with your life?
Yeah.
You know, a long time for most people. So 3 months is nothing compared to what the suffering you've done.
Right.
And then sometimes I have people in the middle of the process figure it out and go, that was too fast. How is that possible? How could that have happened so fast? So it's so funny how the time, you know, just being a man-made construct can cause people to be so flip-floppy in their attitude about it, you know?
Yeah.
So
a lot of it is about finding your calling. You know, I mean, a lot of this is be who you are is an important thesis that you've got in here, that if you like who you are, it's not as important what you do.
Right. Like the motto of the program is, it's not what you do that's going to make you happy. It's not
right.
What you do for a living. It's who that thing allows you to be. Do you like who
right.
you get to be every day?
Right.
And so, yeah, it turns the conventional career counseling stuff on its ear, and coaches kind of know this in the sense that it's not about doing testing, and it's not about what your resume says you're qualified to do. In fact, I don't even look at your resume at all. We do a life story process to find the threads of what, you know, of what you kind of left on the side of the road at some point in your life that needs to come back. And this gets me fired up, because I have a son, you know, getting ready to accept which college he's going to go to. And I can remember, you know, what you're put through as a kid to, like, you have to decide on a major, and you're kind of deciding your whole life. And here I work with the mid-career adults that are like, how did I get here?
Mm.
So, you know, I'm working with those people, and I have, you know, trying to walk my talk with my own kid and remembering my experience and going, like, all right, we don't know how to guide young people properly. You know, we say you can be anything you want to be when you grow up until you decide what your major is, and then we ask how you're going to make a living at that. So, right? So
right.
I just, you know, I've had that bird's eye view for all this time, and now trying to use it through my own kid to see, like, where is it that we go wrong? And I find that, you know, we have to build this business case for our credentials and our qualifications,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we forget the person. And, you know, it's truly amazing to watch people remember the who and reinvent their work, whether they stay in the same job or not, but just turning up the volume on the part that is essential to their expression and, oddly enough, most likely to be their greatest service.
Right.
You know, they go hand
well
in hand.
Well said. Yeah, well said. You know, I'm reminded, I want to go back when you made that statement that this book kind of came out of your experience with coaching lots of people post 9/11. Because I remember that was like not only devastating in many, many ways, personally and spiritually, but I thought, oh, man, there goes the career. There goes people who, you know, have money or want to do. And instead, most of the coaches I knew who were active got more business, kind of like you said. More people were seeking coaching. And a similar thing happened post 2006, 7, and 8. You know, people
mm-hmm.
who had the opportunity to not get stuck in the deficiency model of what happened financially took control of their life. And a lot of them sought coaching. So your claim here, taking 90 days to reclaim your life, redesign your life, is perfect. You made a comment. You said you don't really need to look at a person's resume and you talk about their life story instead. Say mm-hmm. some more about that. How do you do that?
I mean, it's almost to the annoyance of prospective clients, because when they, you know, want to let me know about them, they want to send me their resume. And I ask them to please not, because I don't want to be colored by what you've already see as your obstacle
right.
to some other thing. So if we look at the life story, what I mean, this is something that was asked of me when I was a coaching client, but I use it, I don't know where I came up with this, but, you know, each of my books were written while pregnant, so I do my best work pregnant, apparently. So I came up with this, like, you know, I kind of watched myself and said, what am I looking for in a life story that tells me who this person is and what their next step would be? And I've basically come up with three, I call them lenses, like if you're going to change your glasses three times and look at the story, and one are the obvious through lines and themes, you know, oh, you're always attracted to this, or you always did this. But sometimes some of the themes are things that are not there. Like I was working with a 9/11 widow and just had this sense that there was a missing from her story, you know, and that's not on the page. It's something that was missing from the page. And it was leadership. Like, she did everything behind the scenes. She was a bank teller behind the glass. She was an accountant in the back room. She was behind a powerful husband. And I just happened to mention that I felt like leadership was missing. Now, that sounds like a judgment call on my part, but that was just intuitively what came to me. And she said, oh, my gosh, it's weird that you would bring that up, because I'm being considered for a leadership position, and I've never had one, and I didn't know if I should bring that to the coaching. You know, and it's like, what? You know, so that's one. You know, it's funny what people do not tell you until you bring it up, and it's so right. You know, it's so important to the coaching process. Anyway, so one is those themes that you're looking for. The other place where people can't figure out what they want to do is because they have a driving motivator that no longer fits them. So I call it the driving motivator when you are motivated by something from your past, likely a coping mechanism from the past that you, and a lot of people make vows when they're young, like, I'll never be like my mother, or I won't be poor like my dad, or I'll, you know, or I'll do this, or I'll show them. And that becomes exactly what makes them successful to a point. Then they're a midlife adult or mid-career adult. That could be 35. That could be in your 50s. It doesn't matter. And you're still trying to operate on this operating system, but you can't, but you don't know what's wrong with you. And so that outdated motivator a lot of times is what keeps people from knowing what to do next with their life. And then the third lens is looking for the dreams that people had in the past. Not that, you know, just because you dreamt of being a ballerina, you're going to come and be one now at age 52. But I work on this process of opening up the dream, you know, so it's not the, like, me. For me, my story was I wanted to be an actor.
Right.
Musical theater performer, you know, like, what's her name that I love? Bernadette Peters, right? I was going to be Bernadette
Peters.
Right. Or Bette Midler, even probably more accurate, Bette Midler, right? And, you know, that went along fine, but not good enough, and I thought I failed, and 10 years after, I had left the business and I was already coaching, I realized that, wait a minute. I have this dream, but I was attached to the form of the dream. Like, it had to be musical theater actors.
Yep.
But when I looked at what I want out of being an actor, I wanted to impact change from the stage. I wanted people to see something on the stage that moved them to change something in their life. And that's exactly what I do now. You know, just
beautiful.
In a different package. So helping people pull apart those packages and realizing
right.
that just because you wanted to be a paleontologist when you're 10 doesn't mean you want to be one now. There's a secret in there. And
right.
so those three things in the life story usually break people open to new
beautiful.
Possibilities.
I love that. Beautiful. So tell us about one of your big success stories. I mean, obviously you can't share the name, but you've had, you know, some people you talk about in the book and stuff. What's one that even surprised you?
Oh, my gosh. Just when you think you've seen a lot and, you know, what else could surprise you, there's always something else. So, oh, my goodness. Well, let's go with a new one that
okay.
that no one's heard because it's new to the book, and I'm allowed to use his name. So I worked with this guy 3 years ago who came to me from, I won't say the company, but it came to me from a company fast food restaurant industry, and he was a middle manager in supply chain and distribution. And he worked for a company that happened to be quite Christian in their faith, and he gave them a list of Christian coaches he could work with, and he goes online and finds, like, the only Jewish one. Not that I'm the only Jewish coach, but that's who he ended up choosing as his coach and got his company to pay for it. And we have this fabulous relationship, and it just works great. But so here he is feeling, you know, dissatisfied. You know, I'm not being seen for all I can do. I don't really know what I want to do. And, you know, when we break through to the other side of it, he really wants to be in training and development in some way. Like, he loves the people side of it and teamwork and growing people, et cetera. And so when we part ways, he's starting to network with some names I gave him, people he knows, you know, how he's maybe even at his own company, how he's going to break into the human development side of corporate.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, he's happy, moves on. I don't hear from him for a year. He calls me up, and he has become, now get this, the CEO of a $100 million company.
Wow.
Okay, so he went from a middle manager to being hired as a CEO. Now, that sounds very odd and risky on the behalf of the company who took him, right? But here's how the story went down. This is one of his vendors. They asked him to come speak to their people because they always loved his spirit and, like, how he talks about his company and the teamwork at his company and the human development side of his company. So he comes and speaks. You know, does as a favor to a vendor. And then they take him to lunch and tell him, like, well, we actually had an ulterior motive. We actually need a CEO. We think you might be it. And, right, so he negotiates to go. He leaves the Atlanta and moves out to Washington State. Part of what we discovered in his life story, too, is that the great outdoors just has to be a part of his life.
Oh.
So here he goes out to the, you know, Pacific Northwest. Now, we're coaching together again now. And, you know, he's been through an incredible learning curve since he and I worked together, and now we're back together working together. And he's created some incredible breakthroughs at this company. Certainly the learning curve was crazy. You know, I don't know how much his salary went up, but you've got to say it was several times.
Oh, a lot.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure he's bucking in his sleep as he gets his graduate studies and being a CEO. But, you know, he's got great support. He's got other mentors. And now I've come back on as his coach. And that, I think, is an incredible story. You know, did it cost him some gray hairs? Probably. But I think, again, it's just like when you get to who you must be to be your best, this unrelated to any job search. He just got plucked out. And, you know, I'm sure he'll probably do a 5-year stint here and then figure something else out. But that's a pretty incredible story.
Wow, super incredible. Yeah, it reminds me, and I just want to throw this in quickly, and you reminded me of a client. Years ago, I specialized in coaching attorneys through a group in Orlando, and I had one woman who was an attorney in Mississippi, and I was coaching her as part of the follow-up of this training. And long story short, after about 2 months, I said, how did you become a lawyer? I mean, I had her life story, but I didn't have, so what was, my dad's business, and he was really thrilled that I liked it, and so I moved into the company. I said, and the question was, so are you living your dream or his dream? And there was a silence, and she started crying.
Oh.
And I said, ooh, now that was a powerful question. but the long story short is she loved law. She did not love being a lawyer.
And her dream
was to be a teacher. So the end of the story was she ended up teaching for a university in the law department. It was like she never thought of that. She could still be involved with law but not be a lawyer.
Exactly.
I mean, so
and it's those tiny distinctions that keep people off of that home base that would equal loving every part of what they do, and
right.
It takes your coaching ear to find it. You know, it's just that doesn't show up in a career counseling measurement scenario.
Yeah, you're kind of the rule breaker, like the guy who wrote What Color Is Your Parachute back in the day, you know that book? I mean, it was like
I know that book because he puts out a new edition every year.
Yeah, The Avant-Garde Way to Do Career Counseling, and he had a new book every year, no dummy. But it was great. You know, it wasn't the traditional way of take these tests, do these assessments. So this is, you should be a mortician or a psychologist or a,
Right.
You can tell, I
was supposed to be a florist. And I can't I have one plant that was given to me as a gift when I moved into this house 19 years ago, and they said, you can't destroy this, and they were right. But that's the only plant that I have, and it has died and come back 17 times.
Look how you've made people bloom.
There you go. There you go. We just found the connection between my florist capacity test that I took in 12th grade, 11th grade?
Right, right. That's terrific.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. So you specialize in helping people figure out what's next, whether it's a mildly reinventive of something they're doing, whether there's a transition, could be health, could be divorce, could be career, or going through a big change.
Yeah.
How do you help people navigate? You know, I guess the question is that, plus are you ever surprised that a big goal happens quickly, or are you seeing a small goal become a big goal? Just, I don't know, something about all that.
People, since 9/11, I've sort of become a, that's my thing, helping people figure out what the next step is. And then
right.
Funny enough, like when I do corporate speaking, nobody wants you to come in and talk about where that people should leave their job. So the corporate arena has no clue that I do that one-on-one. They think I talk about coaching and how to manage change. But the funny thing is, on the one-on-one level, that I think we know this no matter what kind of coaching we do, people come for what they want, but then they get what they need. So surprising to people sometimes is they think they're coming to change careers, and I may think so too, but I always have that little bit of open space for anything can happen. And they think they're coming to change careers, but discover truly the obstacle right now is that they know their marriage is in trouble and they need to do something about that. Or it's a health thing, or they're, you know, drinking too much, and that's what needs to be addressed. So, you know, it's not always what people bring on face value. There's something else. And then they go, well, you didn't help me find my next career. I said, no, we helped you find your next step, didn't we?
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I love about your work. It's a whole person approach. I mean, we as coaches might ask, what do you want? But eventually you get to, and what do you really want? You know, and what are we learning here? Maybe it's not the career. Maybe it's your other choices, like bringing your work to home, bringing your home to work, trouble with the kids, whatever it is that's in the way. It's a lot of things.
And I think that's why I've, you know, always loved this profession. It's just, it's not, it is holistic in the sense of it's the whole person.
Right.
You know, we're not going to do one without the other.
No, and we're not trying to fix people. We're trying to let them discover, uncover, and design. So one of the things that I love about what you do, you talk about the life story. You've talked about your success stories, and I think you touched on three sort of blocks that people have. I had a question I was going to ask you, but I think you touched on that, is in the coaching industry. So since you were one of the pioneers of life coaching in the 90s, what have you seen change from the perspective of the profession and people seeking a coach? I mean, back then, you know, you see your coach, they go, really, what sport?
Exactly.
But now, so what have you seen change and evolve and help those who are getting trained to move into this profession?
Well, I've definitely from my firsthand experience, it's gone from what team, what sport, you're a soccer mom?
Yeah, right.
And then that felt hard, right, to have to educate people. But now it's, oh, I met 50 of you this week. I met 50 of you, you know. And yeah, I know. And I'm like, no, you didn't meet 50 of me. So, I guess a little bit of it is an ego thing, but a lot of it is just knowing that anyone can call themselves a coach still.
Right.
Public is a little more savvy.
Right.
But like, for example, I just saw a well-known seminar center in New York City advertising a coach training weekend done by two people who would not fit the level of credentialing that the ICF would require from a coaching school.
Uh-huh.
So that's disappointing to me, you know, so still having it be that the public is getting a watered down thing bothers me. But in terms of what the public is seeking, I've seen it change over my 20-some-odd years from it kind of goes with the landscape of what's going on in the economy, too. It's like when I first started, people wanted to get promotions, like, you know, make more money and get ahead.
Right.
In the 90s, later 90s, in the Clinton era, when there was lots of money flowing, people mm-hmm. were – work-life balance was the buzzword, you know, like
right.
they could write their ticket, work anywhere, ask for a gym membership, a company car, and, you know, like they could
mm-hmm.
do anything. So they were like, yeah, I want to design the quality of my life. And immediately after 9/11, it changed to meaning. People want to do something more meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still hearing that. And, you know, in the now at work, it's amazing to see that people are also willing to make less money to be happy.
Yes. Design your life so you don't need to make a lot.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
So I find it interesting that, you know, in a 20-year span, the use, at least from my perspective, of what we're using coaches for is a little different. certainly I'm thrilled that it's so easy. Well, I won't say so easy, but I'm thrilled that, you know, coaching used to be in corporations only a PhD in organizational psychology would be teamed
right.
up with a CEO.
Right.
And now, you know, coaching is all the way down to the mainstream. And coaching philosophy being part of a company's culture. Like, for example, Yum Brands, at one point they have KFC and Pizza Hut and
right.
Taco Bell. They took away everyone's title and everyone was called a coach.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if they still do it, but there was a time when I was working with them that they
well,
did that.
Well, and I know, I mean, Google has a staff coach. Zappos has a staff coach.
Right,
there
right.
There are companies that get this. It's like, as I tell people, I mean, here we are, you and I, 20 years later, in this profession, that there was like 187 people the first conference in Houston. Like, well,
that's
how
right.
do you all get here? And then it grew and grew and grew, and there's now 25,000 members of the ICF. But it's like consulting. Consultants aren't certified or licensed either. You know, the public needs to know what they're looking for and hopefully be wise enough to find somebody that's got some credentials. That's not always going to happen, but the cream rises to the top. There are more and more quality coaches, cross-referrals of coaches that I think people, if they Google coaching now, other than the advertised things that come up at the top, They'll find the ICF, they'll find the board certified coach, they'll find ACTO or something and get to a good coach.
Well, also I mean, people are savvy enough now to know that there's so many coaches that, you know, you don't have to just take the first one you speak to. So
right, you don't have to settle. That's right.
You know, and I always tell people, even if they choose me, speak to two more and make sure
yes.
that I'm really it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So given that, I want to ask one sideways question before we maybe open it up to people on the call here, but a lot of people don't know about your life coach, Lurline. And
you're going to out me.
I know. I'm gonna out you. You may not have the corporate clients look for that, but I know if people, you know, look at lifecoachlurline.com or whatever it is, that is your
yes.
performance. You ended up doing an actor. So say a little bit about Life Coach Lurline, your parody.
I will. And Life Coach Lurline, for you listeners, is Lurline, and it is lifecoachlurline.com or on Facebook. Well, I think this is going on 4 years ago. To make sure that I wasn't being a stage mom and pushing my daughter, who loved musical theater, into it for me, and I was really supporting her, I decided to do a show to make sure I had it out of my system. And the show was called The Great American Trailer Park Musical. And I played it was a great show. And I played a woman in leopard pants with blah, blah, blah. And weeks after the show was over, I could not get rid of the Southern accent and the whole thing. And I literally called the writer of the show and said, I love this character. How much leeway do I have to play with this character? She said, none, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
And I went online, this is horrible, but I did it, and I wrote in, you know, I can't use the name of the person in the show. I need to find a new name for this character, and I still don't know what I want to do. So I go to Google, and I wrote in white trash names. Forgive me if this offends anybody, but, you know, this is also my family line, white trash names. And I got a white trash name generator. And I know you're all going to find it now. Yes, and I put in Laura, and back came Lurleen and Hornblower. And everyone's a Hornblower or a Chickensworth. You only got two last names. Good. And the minute Lurleen came back to me on the computer screen, I knew in my head, I said, that's it. It's Life Coach Lurleen. That is what I'm doing with this character. So Life Coach Lurleen wears a dolly-sized wig, except it's dark, and she got leopard pants and leopard shoes. She lives in a trailer down south in northern Florida, and she... Laura Bummer Forking's her mentor from afar, and she's read all Laura Bummer Forking's books, and she gives coaching advice. Very homespun.
Yeah.
And this outlet has been a heck of a lot of fun for me, especially to do it in front of my colleagues at the Conversation Among Masters conference.
Right, right.
And because I'm never one to just do something, you know, that takes that much time and not have a goal with it, I made the goal to have a one-woman show. And 3 years ago, I debuted a one-woman show, and occasionally I do it. And my daughter used to be in it with me, but now she's too old and too cool. But it's great fun. So thanks for outing me, and everyone go look
it
up.
Yeah, yeah. So I outed you on that, and if people can check it out. There's some great YouTubes about that. And I also say there's some great YouTubes of Laura. Laura was on Oprah many years ago. There's some YouTubes of her speaking. So if you want to learn more about LBF, as those of us in the industry call her, you've got a lot of easy information to learn from on there, and give them the link for your website for the new book so they can take a look at that.
Yes, yes. In the next 2 weeks until March 1st, I have some great bonus items that if you work with people in career transition, you might want because when people are trying to figure out what to do, they either need to rewrite the resume and learn how to network and do the job search, or they're going to start their own business. So I've got these free bonuses there till March 1st. If you go to nowwhatcoaching.com and you pre-order the Now What book, brand new snazzy book with cool QR codes and has its own bells and whistles, then you'll be able to have these bonuses. You'll be able to see what other cool things are going on, free events and for pay events. And that's nowwhatcoaching.com. Come check it out.
Yep, nowwhatcoaching.com. And let me just say to everybody, I mean, this is such a valuable resource, not only for you, but it's that kind of resource that even we don't, quote, give advice to our clients, every once in a while we suggest a resource, and this would be a great one. So you're going to have clients who find this useful. You're going to find it useful. And some of the extra tools that Laura's offering will be awesome. So let's open up the lines, Amy. Let's see if anybody on the live call here has any questions or comments for Laura as we have 10 or 15 minutes left for this call. Anybody with us today that has a question or a comment for Laura?
Our favorite dark hole of cyber talk.
Yes.
This is Carla. I had a question.
Okay.
Thank you for all your just conversation, feedback, honesty, sharing. And my question is, do you still offer people the opportunity to be certified to teach as an official facilitator of your program, Laura?
I do. If you go to nowwhatcoaching.com, you'll see there's a button there to become a facilitator. And once a year, I train a elite class of folks who, you know, anyone who's had a little bit of coach training before is eligible, and I call it the authorized facilitator training. And I think you get 15 or 18 CEUs for it. So, yeah, please do check that out.
Yeah, great question. Great question. Is there anybody else with a question for Laura today? I have one while we're waiting. It reminds me, in fact, I worked as one of your coaches for a while back in the day, and you were developing this method of blueprint. Is that still something that is relevant in your work or found on your website?
You know, I did get a registered trademark for Life Blueprint, but it started, the Life Blueprint philosophy is that,
yes,
you know, how I listen to people and what, you know, not having been trained as a psychologist or not coming from a corporate background, not coming from a career counselor background, I was really examining myself and saying, what am I listening for then? You know, and I was kind of listening to what I called an imprint on your soul, your life blueprint. You know, there's an imprint, a life blueprint that is in your DNA that tells me, you know, who you are and what form we're going to find that for comes later, but it's the who piece, right? So that's very much still central to this book and my book, Living Your Best Life, but the calling it that as the branding has taken a back seat. And funny enough, part of it was because for a short period, Martha Stewart had a magazine called Life Blueprint. And my lawyer let them know that they were an infringement of my copyright, and they were like, want to fight us? Who's going to win?
Her lawyer is bigger than your lawyer, huh?
Her budget is bigger than my budget. I was like, we care to battle this one out? So I was like, okay. So I don't know what the point is of owning a registered trademark if it doesn't do anything if someone has more money than you to fight it. But anyway, it was fine.
Well, I think it's a good concept. And the reason I even brought it up, is, and I'll share more of this with you when we talk, but the training I just did in Israel and the whole thing, we talked about kind of spiritual DNA, if you will. In other words, the DNA of who you are, not your DNA of how you look and how your body developed and all that. And it just struck me that there was a similarity there, that a blueprint, a DNA is not a guarantee, you know, but it's there if you follow the steps and don't get in the way of what can be. And that's really what we do as coaches. Career coaching is part of it in this What's Next or your book, Now What? But it's, as we said earlier, it's really your whole life. How does your whole life, this whole DNA fit into what you want to be doing with your life so that who that you want to be can show up.
Right. So it's not a predestiny that will happen with or without you. It does rely on the choices you make in life, but it is there to guide you if you know to listen to it.
True. So anybody else on the call brave enough now to have a question stated while your lines are open?
This is Denise, and I'm just curious more about the book. Is it a book that someone would take and work themselves through? Is it, you mentioned it's good for coaches, could be good for our clients also?
Thank you for asking. The book was definitely designed to work on its own. You know, that was my intent of like, okay, well, if I'm helping them figure this out, and the book has, you know, I'm not there. The book has to do it. So it was designed to work as a program for the individual who's reading the book. And, you know, then that always depends on the person's ability to be patient with themselves and take the exercises and do them, et cetera. So, A, it serves the end user, the person seeking, or a coach could pick it up and use it on themselves, but also say, oh, well, this piece makes sense for my client. And it is designed to go like the 12 chapters in order. You know, I designed it for someone who has absolutely no clue what they want to do. So, but even if someone kind of does, and you start at the beginning, those are great litmus tests for the idea that you have to see that it's truly one that you'll stick with.
Oh, great!
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, it's a very useful book that really has the whole 90-day paradigm built into it. So that's the good news, and you can kind of coach your client. In fact, Laura says early in the book to people that, you know, you can't. This is not a book you go to the end and read a little bit. You skip into the middle. This is a plan, and if you follow it, it'll work. So, Laura, I want to thank you so much for being here today. This was delightful for us to get back in conversation on phone calls like we used to take classes. I can't believe that was 2 decades ago. But anyway,
I know.
You haven't aged a bit. My hair got grayer. But it
I'm a little rounder these days, but okay, if you insist.
Well, you have a few kids and, you know, lived a life. So good. And for those of you on the call or listening, for the book, And the special bonuses that are available to the Now What Coaching. I mean, Now What, is that right? Now What?
Yeah, NowWhatCoaching.com.
Yeah, NowWhatCoaching.com.
All the info you need is right there.
Yeah, NowWhatCoaching.com. And for the fun part that I added, Laura, about, if you want to go to LifeCoachLurlene, LURLENE.com, it'll make you smile. You'll even find useful information from Lurleen. So I am thankful that you made the time to come to this call, and I look forward to further conversations.
And I was grateful for the invitation. Thanks, Patrick. Great to hear your voice.
All right. Okay, take care, everybody. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.